In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I read as the text. I read from this, the Revelations of St. John from the third chapter. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Seven letters were sent, and they were sent by the Son of God. And he had these letters written by the prisoner on Patmos, Johannes, John. When you read these letters, there comes to mind, at least in the beginning, two thoughts. The first thought is, that who is very close to the servant of the Word of God. These letters show and bear witness to the fact that one does not become saved by giving sermons, by preaching. The other thought came to mind when I heard and recalled a vicar of the vicar who had died a few years ago. He had such a gift to find different. He was able to find the bright sides of certain situations. When he was asked one time, could the provost? Can there be anything good in the enemy of souls? And he thought, this old preacher or this old provost thought, well, at least he's diligent. This other thought comes to mind very powerfully when I read these seven letters from the enemy of souls has been very diligent already in those days. We know from all those who had received those letters, only one of the seven was saved from being chastised by the Redeemer. The seventh letter that we read was addressed to the servant of the Word in the congregation of Laodicea. And Jesus said there in the beginning, he wanted to remind the servant of the Word. You are neither hot or cold. And these words of Jesus are in this order. And in the Finnish translation of this portion, the word cold comes before hot. In English, it's the other way around. This first feeling, this cold, is very familiar to us in our own endeavors and faith. I read some of the poems of Nilo Rauhala, and some of these poems were very touching to me. Faith is like the antifreeze of a car. It never freezes, but it's very cold. I'm probably not wrong if I say these services have come with me, such guests, visitors, that you request that I would be able to become warm in the presence of the Word of God, that I would be able to hear the good greetings from God from above. And many times I've doubted. I've doubted that, and I've suspected that my own faith is so cold. We have certainly, during these days already, been able to enjoy this temporal sunshine, but we're also in the warmth of the Sun of Grace. We've been experiencing this as well. And when we see these many, many people, brothers and sisters around us, it has been very touching to me. They are believing in the same manner. They are on the journey, on the way to heaven, to the heavenly home. Then there's this burning or this heat. We can also feel this, of course, sometimes. Sometimes more rarely, but especially in these when we're having our own weak doubting faith being strengthened here at the communion table. We can feel a bit of this heat, warmth, when we together with dear beloved friends in faith, we come to this common meal. When I have thought of my own faith and that the heat of this or the burningness, I have certainly wanted to have that same type of burning in my heart that I had as a younger person. There was more faith, the more strength to speak of this matter of faith to unbelieving people, to friends, to work colleagues. And I imagined as a little boy, and when I become older, then it's much easier to believe. But it's gone the other way around. It feels as if, as years have rolled by, the old portion just becomes stronger. Isn't it wonderful, dear brothers and sisters, that these errors of corruption, we can ask for forgiveness of all these errors and sins, and then once again we have the possibility to continue our journey and trust in that the Father, the Heavenly Father, will help this weak sojourner. Then Jesus very bluntly tells the servant or the angel of the congregation of Laodicea. He talks about his condition. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This angel or this servant in Laodicea had become very independent, and he felt that he needed nothing. And we know what happened when he became rich in himself. And Jesus, before he goes into the matter further, he encourages and counsels him. I will give you a counsel. When you buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And this kind of gold of faith, we may all own this, dear brother and sister. It is such a precious matter. I am not the only one here for sure in this tent and outside this tent who hear this. Once I received a message in which the sender of the message said, I don't believe any more in the same way that you do. I answered to him, I have received in this grace kingdom. I've been able to live here almost 70 years. I don't want to change any other. I don't want to exchange this thing for anything that I've been able to experience ever since being a child. They are such precious things that I would say that to all of us, and I'm sure you agree with me, we don't want to reject this matter, throw away this gold of faith for any other thing. As Peter says in the first epistle of the first Peter, he says, so that your genuine faith, which is more valuable than gold that perishes when tested by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus the Messiah is revealed. First epistle of Peter. We want that this gold of faith is preserved in a clean and clean conscience. And we can't do this with our own power. We need many, many times the gospel in order to keep this gold of faith. It became so that this angel of Laodicea had a very serious eye disease. Jesus encourages him to buy salve for his eyes so that he can see. Laodicea was very famous for its different types of eye salves. It was produced in Laodicea, but Jesus didn't mean this type of salve, this temporal type. in question is a totally different type of ice olive. If we remember or recall, the Apostle Paul, when he became blind on the way to Damascus, he had to go to Ananias, who had that ice olive. And when Ananias was able to reveal the kingdom of God to him, and above all, he was able to preach unto him the gospel, Lucas said that the scales dropped from Saul's eyes. The reindeer herders of the north have told, if the reindeer, the worst enemy of the reindeer is the wolverine, and if it attacks the reindeer and takes out his eyes, the first thing. And after he takes out the eyes, the wolverine returns and kills the reindeer. And this is the way the enemy of souls, dear brothers and sisters, has always worked, operated. The angel of Laodicea, perhaps his eye disease started out as a type of perhaps he began to observe that some of the brothers and sisters in Laodicea were not actually really believing. Well, this thought is supported by the statement, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. With his eyes, he began to observe the other journeying endeavor of the other believers there in Laodicea, but his own endeavor had been forgotten. And remember that Paul had said to the elders of the congregation of Ephesus, he said, pay attention to yourselves and to the entire flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to be shepherds of God's church, which he acquired with his own blood. This portion of God's word is very serious. It doesn't only touch us who serve those who are servants of the word, but it concerns anyone who reads these words. These thoughts and emotions I've had from many years ago when I was made a speaker in my local congregation. In my mind, I hoped and prayed that this very serious task I would always take care of responsibly at my own endeavor is paramount. Paramount is most important, that I make sure that I am endeavoring in the correct way with my own experience, with my own example, with my preaching, and that I would not want to cast doubt or dispersion on the kingdom of God through my own life. But the angel of the congregation of Laodicea had become blind. He did not see his fellow brothers and sisters. He no longer saw the kingdom of God. That precious golden candle had disappeared from before his eyes. It appeared to him as being dim and rusty. He only saw a bunch of very faulty people. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, when I was examining this text, I found numerous moments or portions of the Bible that spoke about sight. And Jesus said that the eye is a lamp of the soul. If the eye is poor, the whole body is dark. And if the eye is healthy, then the whole body is full of light. When the disciples asked of Jesus, why do you teach us with Proverbs? Blessed are your eyes because they see. We want to, dear brothers and sisters, journey friends, we want to take care of these eyes of faith with that eye salve, not with the eye salve that was made in Laodicea, but with that eye salve that we have received, that we have been able to hear and see and believe here. Oh, many service sermons we have heard how one can become strengthened in faith. We have heard the gospel that all sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. When we speak about the kingdom of God, the childhood congregation of mine, I had a particular friend in faith in these services. He had stood up and thanked God in these services. It was a short phrase of thanksgiving. And these were repeated many times in these services when I was a little boy. And I asked my mother, what is that man thinking about? Why is he thinking? That person who was thanking God had been lost for a long time, but at last he'd found the Father's home. What a thankful heart we all have this day that we've been able to live in this wondrous kingdom of God in which we've been taken care of. And we've, in this kingdom, have been forgiven many times our sins. And when the grace of the gospel has been able to warm up our hearts in these services. When Rovaniemi, there was a particular friend, believing friend. When his heart was full of grace, he said that even a mark feels like a million. Mark is the old monetary currency of Finland for the euro. There may be many problems and even a lack of money, and you can see in a different light these problems when you receive the forgiveness of sins, and you were able to see that experience that I could also believe, and I can belong to this wondrous kingdom of grace and belong to this same group that all these other people belong to, this group of people that are going to heaven. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. This is a short exhortation to repentance to the angel of Laodicea. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. If there's anyone listening now who feels that I have been lost, I've been wandering about, I have fallen out from the kingdom of God, I have been deceived to understand matters in a different way, but nonetheless, I have seen it, and it's been revealed to me that those thoughts that have been dividing me from the kingdom of God, they have been wrong thoughts. The doors of the kingdom of God are the doors of the kingdom of God are open. No one has been kicked out. Everyone has been called back with love back into the kingdom to live, to hope, and to be alive unto life. If you feel that I would like to return from being lost, I want to encourage you to believe in the name and blood of Jesus. All sins forgiven, all wanderings forgiven. In these services are many children from believing homes that the enemy of souls has deceived. I know that there's mothers and fathers here that are weighed down in their hearts and minds with this matter. My children would have been believing if I had been a better example to them. That's what they think. But I say to you, that these feelings of failure that you may have, dear mothers and fathers, if we'd had such a strength and a possibility, we'd like to bring all of our children to heaven. But faith is a personal matter. Everyone must make a personal decision whether or not do I want to endeavor in this kingdom or not. And then Jesus says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. This wonderful promise is given to believers. And then this particular letter ends. And all seven letters actually end with this reminder. And now we talk about another sense, hearing. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the kingdom, by the sermon of Jesus. He whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have always, when we are listening to the Word of God, we are before a mirror, and this mirror shows the listener how their own endeavor how the endeavors went poorly. And the services, I've always been able to hear the greetings sent by God. I remember one small girl. I was on a sermon trip in a small area, a small village. And in these local services, there was a congregational evening, and the theme of the evening was internet and the dangers of social media. The talk was very interesting and was based on the Word of God. The conversation was very active. And when the services ended and we left, I sat in the back of a car that was taking me to a person's home, and I was sitting next to this little 5-year-old girl. The journey was quiet for a long time, and then this little girl said, I've decided that I want to be a better believer. A little child teaches us in such a way, and in my heart I want to be a better believer. It's such a familiar feeling when we receive the spring report card, and we see how the things, we notice from the card that there's room for improvement. And when we compare this to our Christian endeavor, we often think that, well, there is room for improvement. Before I end this, I would also like to say how I've been very touched by when I've been out here on the walking around in this summer service area, and when I've seen and met with families, mothers and fathers and children, and I've seen how they've come to this area, this summer service area, many times I start to get a lump in my throat when I see these mothers and fathers coming towards me. They want to trust in the help of God and His will. And this evening, we now prepare to take part in communion, we want to trust in God's help and God's will. And you, and to you who feel so tempted and wondering, am I even believing anymore? I would like to, dear brother, dear journey friend, I would like to tell you about this treasure of the kingdom of God. You have you may believe all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. In the name and blood of Jesus, in the name and blood of Jesus, you may believe your sins forgiven. I also want to go to heaven. May I believe my sins forgiven. I want to believe together with you, and I want to remain in the grace care of God. Amen.